Adultery is occurring at an alarming rate in today's world. It's even portrayed in such a way on TV as if it's perfectly acceptable and normal. Today on The Daily Walk, we'll see what God has to say on the subject and where it all starts.
In the heart of a person, that's where it begins. He's making the point that although you've never committed the act itself, you could be guilty of just going down that road, thinking that way, fantasizing about it, planning it, whatever. The Jewish man might be able to quote and say, I've never broken this commandment. And yet Jesus said it goes to the heart. If you look at a person to lust after that person, it starts in your heart. And it is a dangerous downward spiral that you cannot control.
Marriage is God's idea. He designed the union of a man and a woman to be a permanent lifetime commitment. He understood that without commitment, you can't establish trust. And without trust, there can't be true intimacy. When the trust is broken by adultery, it's extremely devastating. Just look around for evidence of that. Pastor John Randall is teaching through the Sermon on the Mount. And today on A Daily Walk, we come to the subjects of anger and adultery.
The sixth commandment, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says, you fool, will be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. Be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there until you have paid the last penny. The sixth commandment, you shall not murder. You've heard that it's been said, and they had. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13 tells us, you're not to kill people. Murder somebody maliciously, with intention, premeditation. Now, many in the presence of Jesus would say, whew, so far so good. I have not murdered anybody recently. I haven't killed anybody. That's good. That's a good thing. Because you'd be in danger of judgment. But this is what Jesus does. He points out that the law goes deeper than just the external act of murder. He says it goes to the heart. If you've been angry without a cause, I'm not talking about being angry at evil or injustice. I'm talking about being angry, as Jesus describes it here, and this passionate anger, malicious words as well. Jesus points out the root cause of murder starts in the heart. If a person is a murderer and takes somebody else's life, it only proves that that's what they were inside. Let me give you an example. Old Testament, first book of the Bible, Genesis, two guys, Cain and Abel. Both of them offered sacrifices to the Lord. Abel's was accepted. It was a blood sacrifice. Cain's sacrifice was not accepted. He came the way he wanted to, not the way God prescribed. And because his sacrifice was not accepted, you remember what happened? Oh, he got upset. And the Lord even spoke to him and said, listen, if you do right, then everything's fine. But sin lies at the door. You should master over it. And he gets upset at his brother. That anger, that envy, that jealousy grows. And one day they're out in the field and he kills him and buries him. And the Lord confronts him. Where's your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? So not repentant, unrepentant. His blood cries out from the ground. He was a murderer in his heart and he carried it out. He was angry. Jesus knew that the religious leaders were angry and that they intended to kill him. In fact, he would say to them at one point, you are of your father, the devil, because he was a murderer from the beginning. The Pharisees hated Jesus. They were envious of him and they carried out that hatred and anger by crucifying him on a cross. Listen to 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Listen to what it says. This is God's word. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hates his brother. Basically, it's saying it goes into the heart. Guys, this is where it starts. What God wants to do is he wants my heart to change. And then my actions will follow. Do you have hatred? Bitterness? That's going unchecked. Because where that leads is to destructive behavior and destructive responses. Anger that is unbridled can be verbalized in words that are harshly spoken. And when that occurs, we've broken God's law. We're all guilty of this, folks. Well, I've never murdered anybody. You ever hated anybody? One time I hated somebody. Of course we all have. We've all had hate. And I need to repent of that. And if I don't, it affects me in a number of ways. Do you know where it affects us? It tells us right here. For one thing, it affects our worship. It says, bring your gift to the altar. If you bring your gift to the altar, that is for worship. And you remember your brother has something against you. Leave the gift before the altar. Go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer the gift. If you come into the house of the Lord and you want to worship the Lord and you're living in anger and bitterness and all of that, do you know what happens? It does affect your worship. It really does. Man, I want to worship. I can't worship right now. I hate that guy. You know, and the devil's right there. You're trying to worship God and there's their face. And you're struggling to worship. What do I do when that happens? I repent. God, change my heart. I repent of that. Lord, I forgive. I choose to forgive. You've forgiven me. How can I not forgive them? Lord, take this out of my heart. Change me, Jesus. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be unforgiving. God, work in me. God works well with humility and honesty, transparency. Maybe you're angry this morning. You came in here fuming. You don't look like it. You look smiley and you look like you're doing all right. But inside, what do you do? Well, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, a couple good verses to remember if you find yourself prone to anger. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A soft word. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, for by forbearance a ruler is persuaded. Notice this, a gentle tongue breaks a bone. I thought a good twist of the arm would break the bone. No. A gentle tongue breaks a bone. I look at this and again, I see what God reveals and I allow the scriptures to turn on my heart. What's inside? What's going on in me? What's going on in you? Am I angry? If I am, why am I angry? What's my problem? Lord, search me, try me, change me. Jesus shows it goes to the intent of the heart. Another one, seventh commandment this time. You have heard that it's been said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus now expounds upon the seventh command. A sexual relationship outside of marriage. The Lord says within his word, it is condemned. It is a sin. You remember King David, one of the greatest kings Israel ever had. In fact, God said concerning David, God said he was a man after his own heart. Can you imagine the Lord saying that about you? And he raised him up, elevated him to be the king of Israel. And he had so many amazing victories in his life. Wrote so many great songs. They're called the Psalms. He was a worshiper and he was a warrior. And yet there is an asterisk over the legacy, a sad mark on the legacy of King David concerning his sin with Bathsheba. When he was supposed to be out fighting, he was not fighting, and he ended up falling. He fell into the sin and also committed murder to cover it up. And Nathan, his friend, came and confronted him and exposed the sin that he was involved with. And of course, David repented, but there were many consequences that followed after the fact because of his committing of adultery. There were so many things, there was so much fallout that he didn't think about in the moment when he engaged in that, or he started going down that road and everything began to unravel in his home and his family was affected and his kids were affected and people died as a result of the decisions that he made. And Solomon, who was the son of David and Bathsheba, that is the second son, the first one died, the second son, God said, I love Solomon, show grace. Solomon wrote in the Proverbs, listen to what Solomon said. He said, for the commandment, God's word, is a lamp and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Why? To keep you from the evil woman. Ladies, I'll add, from the evil man. From the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart. Don't let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Whoever commits adultery, listen, with a woman lacks understanding, and he who does so destroys his own soul. You look at that and you think, oh, I don't want my life to become a crust of bread. No. Too much of this going on today. People throwing away their marriages for nothing, for a moment. Now, a man listening to Jesus' words would say, whoo, praise God, I haven't done that. Haven't murdered anybody? Okay, that's good. 6-1, done. 7-1, no, I haven't done that. Jesus said, let me tell you something. It goes beyond just the actual act. It starts in the heart of a person. That's where it begins. He's making the point that although you've never committed the act itself, you could be guilty of just going down that road, thinking that way, fantasizing about it, planning it, whatever. The Jewish man might be able to quote and say, I've never broken this commandment. And yet Jesus said, it goes to the heart. If you look at a person to lust after that person, it starts in your heart. And it is a dangerous downward spiral that you cannot control. And even inwardly or privately, you're committing that. And what happens is you make that first choice, and then it just continues to go from there. In fact, James put it this way. James said this, and we talked about it not too long ago. He said, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, because God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his and enticed by his own lust. And then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. It starts with a look, and then there's a choice you have to make. Whether to entertain that thought, or to take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ. To allow the seed to be planted or immediately uprooted. To run or to sit. To take the way of escape or refuse it. No one is above this type of behavior. Nobody is. And our world fuels this. It applauds it. It welcomes it. It makes it seem like the best decision. But all of us have the power of the Holy Spirit, if we're believers, to overcome this. Job said it so powerfully. He expresses his resolve to guard his eyes. He said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. You know, the word that Job uses there is the most solemn binding agreement known in the ancient Near East. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze? And the word that's used there in the Hebrew doesn't refer to a casual glance, but means to consider carefully, diligently consider, discern, get understanding, look carefully, pay close attention to. Job said, I'm not doing that. Because that leads to death. And so in that moment, you have to make that decision. Nope. Nope. No way. I've made a covenant with my eyes. Have we done that? Someone said it this way. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a consequence. Sow a consequence, reap a destiny. And the mathematics of sin is always the same. It adds to your sorrow. It subtracts from your joy. It multiplies your problems. And it divides your heart. This is a very serious problem that we're dealing with right now in the world. And Jesus speaks right into it and says the fact that somebody would walk away from their marriage is an indication that they had already walked away in their own heart and it made its way out in their actions. You say, well, whoa, that's heavy. What do we do? You know, Jesus tells us what to do when we're confronted with these things. Do you know he tells us what to do? He gives us the remedy. Check out the remedy here. It's pretty drastic. Verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. Wow. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, well, cut it off and cast it from you. It's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than from your whole body to be cast in hell. The word for sin here is used as the word stumble. Scandalon is where we get the word scandal. To entrap, to trip, to entice, to offend. It's used here in an active sense, which conveys the idea to cause somebody, entice somebody to sin. In a passive sense, it means to be led into sin. If that's happening, what do? You cut it off. You like literally pluck out your eye No, he's not saying literally take out your eye, because there'd be a lot of people missing eyes. Literally cut your hand off, there'd be a lot of hooks in here. It'd be like a pirate church, right? Let's worship. You know, we'd all be a mess. And besides that, you could poke out both your eyes and you'd still have your mind to deal with. What Jesus is saying is deal with it drastically. Cut it off. Done with it. Well, we just need to, I don't want to offend them. Really? What about offending God? You're right. Well, I just need to send one more message. No, you don't. No, you don't. You just need to block their number and never talk to them again. That's all you do. Smash your phone. Like, it's fine. Like, you don't want to die? Like, crush it. Like, I mean, just do it. I mean, that's drastic. That's what Jesus is saying. And then when you're not drastic about it, you kind of entertain it. Well, you know, and this could develop into, you know, I don't, well, you know, if that is the, you know, kind of that scenario and excusing it and making, you know, don't do that. Cut it off, like, right now. You know, well, we just needed a text till like 3 a.m. Like, why? It's business. It's for business. 4 hours for business? I don't think that's the kind of business you need to be involved with. Drastically, I'm changing offices. Why are you changing offices? Because this is not a good environment. I am moving to a different office. Bye. I'm changing my career. I'm changing my job. It's worth it. Do I want to lose everything? I don't want to lose everything. So I'm out. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to trust God. I would rather, like Joseph, I would rather run and be in prison than sin and fall into that temptation and ruin your life. And God blessed him and raised him up because he ran. Too many people not running. Too many people not getting out of there. Too many people not dealing with it right from the jump. Right when it comes, just cut it off. Nope. Shutting that down. That's what we have to do. And the more you do that, the easier it is. Jesus says, deal drastically with it. Stay as far away from it as you can. Because the flesh is just always, it's just ramped up, man. It's always, it's set on fire by hell. I mean, it's everywhere. And you got to fight it. After service today, I got to pray with two young men that came forward after this message. And they said, would you pray with us, Pastor John? There's so many temptations for us as young men. These guys are in their young 20s, early, 19, 20, 21, 22, saying, would you pray for us? There's so much temptation. It's all around us. Would you pray that we would be strong? We just together. I said, hey, let's pray for the young guys and the old guys. Let's pray together. Like, Lord, protect us. Help us to be men of God. So sweet to hear the heart of those young men wanting to do what's right. If you don't do what's right, if you don't deal with it drastically, it will deal drastically with you. Example, a man by the name of Saul, and here's where we'll conclude today. Saul, first king of Israel, when he started out, the guy was awesome. I mean, he was so humble. He was the keeper of the donkeys. I mean, the guy was, he was low level, but he was a good guy, you know? His head was in the right place. Loved his father, loved his family. Searching for donkeys, ends up in front of the prophet, you remember? And Samuel's there, and the Lord told him, this is the first king of Israel. Saul had no clue. Saul shows up, meets with Samuel, and Samuel gives him this big meal. He's like, wow, I didn't expect that. And then before he leaves, he anoints. I mean, he said, you're going to be the next king. He's like, I'm the least in my father's house. I'm like, we're the smallest tribe. How can that even be? I mean, he was humble before the Lord. But then he was anointed. And it says that God gave him a new heart and put the spirit within him. He was a different man. He even prophesied. But as time went on in his administration, it says that he began to do things for himself, choose men for himself, just began to consistently develop a pattern of disobedience. And with every pattern of disobedience, there was always an excuse for the disobedience. There was always a reason for it. And it was somebody else's fault. Typically, you read his life, it's there. And one day, Samuel came to him, and he said, Saul, the Lord has a mission for you. You need to go down, and you need to wipe out the Amalekites. And God had his reasons. Israel was to be an instrument of God's judgment on this evil, wicked, malicious group of people that were just wiping. I mean, it's just what they were involved with was so evil, and God was going to use them to attack and fight them. And Saul was given his orders. And so Saul goes out, and he enters into the battle. But he did not do what God asked him to do. He left things undone. He comes back And he says to, this is how deceived he was. He said, hey, Samuel, I've done all the Lord asked me to do. And Samuel said, how come I hear the sheep in the background? He was supposed to get rid of all the livestock and not keep it for himself. He said, that the people wanted that to sacrifice to God. That's why we kept it, because we were going to sacrifice to God. You know how the people are. And Samuel said, to obey is better than sacrifice. You go through the outward motions, making it look like, but obedience is more important than that. And in this you've done foolishly, and the kingdom was stripped from Saul's hand. Fast forward to the last day on the battlefield on the mountains of Gilboa. Saul is fighting alongside of his sons. They all die. And the one who ultimately took Saul's life from him was an Amalekite. What he did not deal with when God told him to deal with it, it was only a matter of time before it came back and killed him. And the lesson is very clear. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to throw away everything for nothing. And so we deal drastically with it so that we might have victory over it. That's God's desire for us. This sermon, I'm telling you, it just, every week I feel like, ugh. I'm looking at all of you staring at me and I'm feeling like, this is super. It is what it is. It's uncomfortable. But imagine this. If I went into the doctor today and he said, hey, John, we ran those tests and we got some bad news and some good news. The bad news is you got something malignant inside of you. You got something that's going to kill you. It's small right now. However, we've got it early enough that if we go in, we can get it out. Well, how painful is it going to be? It's going to be painful. Well, you'll recover, but it's going to be painful. It's going to be a process that you're going to have to go through. But if we do it now, we could get it out. Right now, we schedule it tomorrow. You can come in. What do you want to do? Is it okay if we just leave a little bit of it in? Like, you have to get it all out? Can't you just leave some of it in? Just, I don't want to feel the pain, you know? No, we need to take it all out. I'm being silly, but the fact is, I'm being silly because that would be dumb. That would be the most foolish thing ever. If you can get it out, schedule it. Can we do it tonight? Are you busy? You can work a double? Like, take it out now, today. Why wait? Get it out of my body. I don't want it to kill me. And yet some are willing to just live with a little bit of, just, okay, I just need to, you know, it's not worth it. And so we look at the word of God and the sword of the Spirit, a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, and it goes in and it just, you know, kind of peels back all the facade and everything and gets right, cut straight. And the Lord wants to make an incision and remove that and then heal it, you know, and it's up to you. It's up to me. He says these things because he loves us. The Bible says in Romans 13:14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Put on Jesus, put on Christ, and you'll conquer the flesh. In Jesus' name.
Pastor John Randall on how to have victory over the flesh in our daily walk. And this is a daily walk. We're in the Sermon on the Mount right now, learning what Jesus had to say about anger and adultery, two sins that are prevalent in our day and age, to say the least. And you can order a CD copy of this message by calling 877-242-0828. You can also listen to our recent programs on our website, that is adailywalk.org. And we also offer John's teachings by podcast and have an app, too. To get our app, do a search for Calvary South OC. And I should also mention, John is on Twitter and Instagram. You can start following him on Twitter at PJRandall7 and on Instagram at John P. Randall. Well, maybe you've noticed that a simple message on a t-shirt can often lead to some great conversation. Today, we'd like to offer you one of our latest tees. It's the Jesus is Alive, Hope is Alive t-shirt. Take a look at it right now in our online store at adailywalk.org. We'll send it to you for the special price of $15. You'll get it just in time for Easter. And who knows, maybe it will lead to a conversation about the glorious gospel. We could also take your request if you call us at 877-242-0828. Thank you for your prayerful and financial support of A Daily Walk. It really is having an impact. Not long ago, we expanded our reach into a couple of nationwide networks. Now, this was a big step of faith for us, but we're trusting the Lord to provide. And maybe some of that provision will come through you. If you'd like to donate to the ministry, please go to adailywalk.org or call 877-242-0828. And we are very grateful to the Lord when we hear back from our listeners. Write to Pastor John today by email at adailywalk@gmail.com. You know, he loves to read listener letters and emails. Let him know what's going on in your life and how we can pray for you at adailywalk@gmail.com. Well, that'll do it for this edition of A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. May God richly bless you and strengthen you in your daily walk. Join us next time as we continue our journey through the Bible. A Daily Walk is a presentation of Calvary South OC.